listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
Well, I'm excited we get to continue week two of Redeeming Rest. Pastor Rocky did an amazing job last week, and we're just going to continue what we started with our Sabbath series. And I don't know about you guys, but in our house, we split up the chores. Sarah and I, over the last 6 years together, have kind of figured out a good rhythm of how we can kind of get things done efficiently in our house. And so for me, for instance, I do all of the cooking in our house. And so because of that, Sarah does the dishes. It's a good give and take system that we have. And then I'm the one that's responsible for taking out the trash. I put out the garbage cans, and then when they get picked up, I'll bring them back inside. But then Sarah does the laundry, and so that's a great compromise as well. And then we both kind of work together to clean the house. We do that 50-50, right? Yeah, okay, 60-40 maybe? All right, honestly, it's more like 70-30. But listen, there are specific times where I'm very motivated to clean the house. And that's if I know someone's coming over. If someone's coming to spend the night, if I know someone's gonna step foot in the house, I get really motivated in those moments. I put the white gloves on, I'm checking the baseboards, we're sweeping under the couch, you know, places where no one's going, but it's getting cleaned for the first time in a while. And that's just kind of how I operate. And maybe some of you feel the same way. And that reminds me of a specific story in Luke chapter number 10. So if you want to turn there, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10 for just a few minutes. In this story, Jesus is passing through the town of Bethany. And the Bible says that he stops at the home of Mary and Martha. And it says that Martha was actually the one that invited Jesus in. And she is frantically cleaning the house. She's trying to prepare to make everything just perfect. And honestly, who can blame her? I mean, how would you clean your house if Jesus was coming over, right? And so she's keeping herself busy. She's cooking, she's cleaning. But the story goes that she's also getting frustrated because her sister Mary isn't helping out at all. And so I kind of picture this as Martha, as she's working, she's progressively getting louder and louder. Like, wives in the room, you know what I'm talking about. When you're frustrated with your husband, you rattle the dishes a little bit louder as you're putting them away, right? And that's kind of where we find her at this moment. She's frustrated. Mary hasn't vacuumed. She hasn't cooked the first thing. She didn't even set the table. She's just been sitting at the feet of Jesus. And let's pick up reading in verse number 40 together. It says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" So immediately in this story, two things stand out to me about Martha. One is that she's anxious, and then the second thing is that she is distracted. Whenever she's complaining, Jesus gently corrects her in this moment, as only Jesus can. And he says, "No, actually, your sister Mary has chosen the better thing." You see, rather than getting caught up in the busyness, even though Martha is doing something good, she's serving, Mary has prioritized what Jesus calls the better thing. And listen, if I can just kind of illustrate one theme from this story, is that if the enemy can't get us to fall into disobedience, then he'll settle for distracting us with lesser things. And life is full of distractions, amen? There are so many things that are constantly pulling at our attention. And if we're honest, one of the biggest distractions that we contend with is technology. Now, let me just go ahead and put your minds at ease, because I think most of the room knows where we're going at this point. I'm not going to stand up here and preach at you for an hour about how iPhones are the devil, mainly because I only have 30 minutes, but also because we know Android was created in the lake of fire. Amen? If that offends you, it's going to get so much worse. No, I'm kidding. In fact, let me just open by telling you some of the things that I appreciate about technology. That there are things that have been developed in our lifetime that are wonderful, and if it weren't for these creations within the digital age, I don't know where we'd find ourselves at some moments. You can learn how to DIY almost anything you want on YouTube. I love that. I'm not an overly handy person just by nature, but being a husband and owning a home, YouTube is a wonderful thing. Because if you want to learn how to build a kitchen table, there are videos for that. If you need to learn how to unclog a drain, there are 1,000 videos telling you how to unclog a drain on YouTube. It's wonderful. If you have kids and you want to keep track of them, you can do that. You can track their device, therefore we know exactly where our kids are, right? And that's a wonderful thing because for many of us in the room, we grew up in a time where that was not the case. You went outside, your parents didn't care where you were. You could be gone for 3 to 4 business days. Didn't matter. Like, you could go to Mexico without a passport. It's fine as long as you come home before the streetlights are on. We can order groceries online and have them delivered to our front door, praise the Lord. I don't think you realize how much money I save from not having impulse buys because I order groceries online. It's an amazing, wonderful thing. It's amazing how much power we can harness right here in the palm of our hands. And yet, we failed to recognize along the way the iceberg of potential harm that it can also cause. I mean, think for a second with me. Like, we have the ability to stay at home and watch the same movies that are playing in the movie theater, and you don't have to pay $57 for popcorn. That's awesome. But what does it turn into? Now, every night becomes movie night. That when the kids go to bed, we're looking to be entertained, and so we constantly are going back, and before we know it, we've watched everything that Netflix has to offer. According to the National Library of Medicine, children with 4 to 6 hours of screen time every day are likely to suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression. Now, 4 to 6 hours sounds like a lot, right? But according to this same website, the average child spends over 7 to 9 hours every day on screens. And listen, that's not just because we handed the device to them, parents, but we have modeled to them how to abuse technology, because it also says that adults spend over 7 hours a day on screens as well. On average, we touch our phones every 3 to 5 minutes. And here's the reality. Is that constant connection has led to disruption in our life. Because it's hard for us to accomplish anything meaningful at work when every 3 to 5 minutes, I've got to pick up my phone and check Instagram. It's really hard for us to connect with our kids on a meaningful level when every 3 to 5 minutes, I feel compelled to pick up my phone and check my email. And maybe you feel that. Maybe you've been living in this tension now and you've recognized that there's a problem, but we feel trapped. We're afraid to put it down because we might get left behind. We're afraid to put it down because we might miss out on something. We get a little bit of FOMO. And so we remain captured by technology, unsure of how to reconcile this problem. And so if that feels familiar to you today, then I'm glad you're here. If that doesn't feel familiar to you, then I'm going to ask you to put your phone down and listen a little closer. And we're going to outline some really practical steps today of how to help us disengage from digital distractions. We want to disengage from digital distractions. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 35. He says, I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. You see, our goal as followers of Christ should be that we are continually evaluating our lives to see, is there anything in our life that is inhibiting us from serving the Lord as best we can? And so that's our first step today. You must confront the digital habits that are draining you. You must confront the digital habits that are draining you. Now, we can't make a sweeping statement to say that all technology is bad, all phones are bad, all entertainment is bad. That's simply not accurate. The same way that we can't say that money is the root of all evil. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so we need to apply that same principle here as well, that this technology in and of itself is not necessarily bad. But it's whenever I elevate lesser things in my life to the highest and best place, now we have a problem. Because whatever is consistently capturing our attention is discipling you, whether you realize that or not. For some of us in the room, it's the social media platforms that we choose to use. TikTok, for my younger people in the crowd. Instagram, X, whatever it is that you choose to subscribe to, your intention was probably to connect. That you wanted to stay connected to the world, stay connected and know what's going on around you. Maybe that you wanted to stay connected to old friends. But what we've realized over time is that social media is anything but social. It actually creates a superficial connection at best. And the reality is that it truly isolates us. It's been proven that developers use neuroscience to make social media more addicting. There's documentaries that you can watch that explain this. That the more we scroll, the more we feel pressured to choose a side. You following me? The more that we scroll, the more we feel compelled to compare our vacation to someone else's vacation. That the more time we spend on those apps scrolling, the more we begin to covet someone else's new vehicle or someone else's new kitchen. Now, maybe for you, social media is not what's draining you and you're feeling pretty good right now. Don't worry, I'm gonna get to you. For some of us, it's email. And we fooled ourselves into thinking that by checking my email over the weekend, I'm just decreasing my stress when I get back into the office on Monday. But that's not really the case, because what happens is that time slot just gets filled by something else. And now all we're doing is we're stressing ourselves out during the time where we should be resting. Constant connection to texts and emails perpetuates stress and urgency in our life. So you need to identify what are the specific digital habits in your life that are draining you. I'd encourage you, write them down. If you're taking notes today, write down those things that are draining your life. If you're not on Twitter, if you're not on X, then that's not an issue for you, but it may be something else. And you need to identify what that might be. Is it video games? Is it sitting down to watch movies every night rather than spending time with the Lord or with your spouse? Identify the areas of your life specifically. And then the next step is that we need to decrease daily reliance. Decrease daily reliance. As we identify those digital habits that are eating up our time, now we need a plan of how we're going to get back to the way that life should be, where we're less dependent on those things. Because look, for thousands of years, we survived just fine without this device. And yet now, we find ourselves in such a short period of time, totally reliant on them. A couple of weeks ago, I was at middle school youth camp. And during that week, I was volunteering. I was holding multiple positions. So it was keeping me very busy. And I remember towards the beginning of the week, I was on a mission. I was walking through going to get something done. And I'm a very task-driven person. But one of my fellow youth pastors, who's a friend of mine, he stopped me and he said, hey, Pastor Zach, have you seen this video that's going around? And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, man, I've got to go get this thing done right now, but I need to set that aside. I need to be relational. I need to be social and you know, engage and talk to him a little bit. So I was like, no, man, I haven't seen that video. He's like, well, let me send it to you. I want you to watch it right now. So he sends me the video, and I open it up on my phone. Long story short, it wasn't a video at all. It was a prank, and whenever I opened that attachment, it bricked my phone. Some of them are laughing down here right now because they know exactly what I'm talking about. It turned my phone totally useless. It locked it, zoomed the screen in. My phone started mooing at me. Mooing. And this is a thing. It's called the moo virus. You can look it up online. And it changes all kinds of settings. And it was really frustrating in the moment. So I just choked him out right there, like put him to sleep. No, I'm kidding. I handed him my phone because I'm old and I said, hey, fix this right now. But in that moment, I tried to stay calm on the outside, but inside, I was freaking out. And I realized just how reliant I've become on this 8-ounce piece of metal that I carry around everywhere I go. Statistics say that nearly 70% of people feel anxiety whenever they're separated from their phones. This is a real thing. It's called nomophobia, short for no mobile phobia. I want to read you the definition. It's on the screen. It says, it's the anxiety or panic experienced when you are separated from your smartphone, out of battery, or without an internet connection. And if we're honest for a second, if we can just be transparent with one another, would you raise your hand if you say, man, that's me. If I forget my phone at home, I'm in trouble. Like, I'm worried about it. Okay, I'm going to say 40%. So 30% of you guys are liars. All right, it's fine. We're going to pray for you. Why? Why do we feel so attached to our phones? Because everywhere we go, no matter what social setting we're in, this has become our security blanket. Or if I could put it to you another way, this has become our comforter. But Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. He doesn't say, when you're tired, go home and turn on Netflix. He doesn't tell us to lay in bed and doom scroll for 2 to 3 hours. He says, if you're tired, come to me. If your mind is burdened, if you're feeling the weight of anxiety of life, come to me and I will give you rest. I will comfort you. Decreasing reliance allows us to increase our reliance on him. And Jesus models this. He demonstrates this for us consistently throughout the gospel accounts. That over and over again, Jesus is intentional to get away, to move away from the crowd, even away from his disciples, so that he can be alone with his heavenly Father, away from the distractions. He would pray and fast to show that he was completely dependent on his heavenly Father. And in the same way, whenever we set aside time intentionally to be away from the digital distractions of our life, we are acknowledging our dependence on our Heavenly Father. So let me talk to you real quick about how we practically do that. What's that look like? How do we decrease daily reliance? We need to establish periods of time where all technology is off limits. For some of you, that's probably going to look like when you wake up first thing in the morning, go get your coffee if you need it, if that's you, get your coffee. Before you ever pick up your phone, pick up your physical Bible. Spend 15 minutes hearing the voice of God in your life. And I'll apply this to church as well. When you come to church on Sundays or Wednesdays, I love the convenience of having the Bible on my phone. Don't use that. Not for that context. Bring your physical Bible with you and open that. Hear the voice of God speak to you. Why am I saying don't use your phone? It's because we'll get distracted. How easy is it for us to just get pulled off track just for a few moments whenever we get that text message that comes through? When I was working on this message, I was sitting in the office preparing this message. I looked down at my phone, and there was a notification that I had a missed call. And so I had that red bubble on my screen, and I had to clear that thing off. I'm one of those people. I can't leave that bubble. Some of you got 1,000 bubbles. We need prayer for you right now. So I opened my phone to clear off the notification. And next thing I know, I'm on Facebook wishing my cousin a happy birthday who lives in New Mexico. How do we get here? And so whenever we feel the urge to just simply pick up our phone and start mindlessly swiping through apps, we need to remind ourselves, am I reaching for something that's just going to fill this moment or something that's going to fill my soul? Another way that we can decrease daily reliance is by making family dinner device-free. Take that window of time, 30, 45 minutes, an hour, turn off the TV, turn off the tablet, turn off your phones, set them aside, put them out of the room, sit together as a family, eat, talk together. Sarah shared this statistic with me a while back, and I haven't gotten over it. But I want to share it with you. It says that 90 to 95% of the time that you'll ever spend with your kids face to face happens before they're 18 years old. So do you really want to waste that time looking at someone's post that you don't even like that much? Take a few minutes in the morning. Take 30 to 60 minutes at dinner. And then the last one is to, when you're getting ready for bed, take 30 to 60 minutes to shut off your devices and put them away before you go to sleep at night. Now, I'm taking it easy on you guys. Most experts say 1 to 2 hours before bed, but I recognize that that's a bit of a shift for a lot of us. So maybe you need to start with a little less than that. Start with 30 minutes. Start with 60 minutes. Put your phone away. Read a book. Talk to your spouse. Let their voice put you to sleep. I think most nights, we're in the process of hopefully going to build a house soon. And so I think I put Sarah to bed better than any melatonin ever could. Talking about architecture. Parents, we are the gatekeepers to our home. At nighttime, you go around and you check the doors, make sure they're locked. You make sure windows are closed. Why? Because you want to keep physical threats outside of your home. Why are we allowing our kids to go to bed with one of the greatest threats in their pocket or under their pillow? I'm going to stop right there. I don't have time to get into all that today. And I know this doesn't make me popular with our students, but parents, don't let your kids be put to bed by phones and tablets. And the same thing applies to us. Don't hold them to a different standard than you're willing to hold yourself to. But listen, whenever we decrease reliance, you're creating opportunities to silence the noise of life and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Last is this, we can establish a digital sunset. We can establish a digital sunset. Here's what I mean by this. Use your weekly Sabbath to set a rhythm for your life. Have a consistent time the night before where you begin shutting down your devices, powering those down to prepare you for Sabbath, to transition you into a time of rest. We see that the Israelites, when they were getting it right, Pastor Rocky talked about this last week, that when they were observing Sabbath correctly, they would prepare in advance, that they would collect food on the sixth day enough for the seventh day. They were preparing. And so by doing this the night before, by powering down our devices, you're honoring the Sabbath by walking into it intentionally, not stumbling into it accidentally. I hope that this month will help us to retrain our minds to not see Sabbath as an interruption, but rather as an arrival, as a good gift from our Heavenly Father. And I know, listen, I understand that if I wasn't preaching this message, I would be having the same thought right now, that some of you are thinking, Zach, isn't this extreme? Isn't this kind of an overreaction to a small problem in our life? Isn't this an overreaction to a small hindrance in our life? But Hebrews 12 and verse number 1, it says this, lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. The writer of Hebrews is making a distinction between hindrance and sin. And what he's getting across is that it's not just sin in our life that needs to be cast off, but there are hindrances, distractions that we need to cast off as well. It may not be that you're struggling in sin like something serious like a drug addiction or a pornography addiction, but there are hindrances that are morally neutral. They're not necessarily bad. They may be good or not necessarily good, but they're morally neutral lesser loves. But they're constantly beckoning to us, beckoning to me to find my peace in them, to find my comfort in them, to find my meaning in them rather than in Christ. And that's what I see in the story from Luke 10, that Martha may have been finding her meaning in serving, which is not necessarily always a bad thing, but it was distracting her from Christ. And that is why this message is so important to us. Listen, I hope that through this month, you will come to understand that Sabbath is much more than self-care. Sabbath is a resistance. It's a resistance against the gods of busyness, of performance, of entertainment, and distraction. And Sabbath brings clarity that screens are not our sanctuary. I saw a post recently from a travel photographer, and he was telling a story about an encounter he had. He went to the top of Cadillac Mountain. If you're not familiar with this location, Cadillac Mountain is one of the first places in the continental U.S. that you can see the sunrise for most of the year. So it's a tourist destination. Hundreds of people will hike up to the top to see this beautiful scenery. And he says that he's walking before sunrise. He makes it to the top. And just as the sun was beginning to break through, peeking over the horizon, he noticed that immediately everyone around him in a synchronized motion did this. And they watched this magnificent sunrise through a 6-inch screen. He said everyone captured the moment, but few actually experienced it. When we choose to disengage from digital distractions, we're not escaping from reality. We're choosing to step into a better one. We're not isolating ourselves from what's real, but rather we're stepping into something better. We're stepping into a reality where we can be present with our children, We're stepping into a reality where our work is now prioritized in its proper place. We're stepping into a reality where the world doesn't need to know what I ate for lunch today, and that's all right. We're stepping into a reality where we're making space to engage with our Heavenly Father. Because Sabbath is about more than just physical rest. It's about spiritual renewal. And this is just one way for us to position ourselves at the feet of Jesus, like Mary, to listen, to learn, to be close to Him.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.